Well, thank you guys. Thank you so much. God bless you all for being here and everybody that is part of making this work. I am a recovered alcoholic. My name is Vinny. And God struck me sober March 9, 2003 in New York and later moved to San Diego. It's a little history about me. Getting sober in New York has been very extreme for me in my experience. Very rough. I sat in the front. I didn't say much. My sponsor sat with me. I went through the three different aspects of our first step with four different people: sponsor, grand sponsor, great grand sponsor, and my great great grand sponsor. They all wanted to share with me the threefold illness: mind, body, and soul. A physical phenomenon of craving, that crazy, chaotic mental obsession, and most importantly, the spiritual malady, which is not really talked about much in meetings, and the circle and triangle. And then my great great grand sponsor wanted to talk about that spiritual malady backed by the bedevilments on page 52 and so many other pages within the first step. And it was grueling, be quite honest with you. It was rough going. It was not easy. I came here wanting to know how people stayed sober. I was 7 months completely dry as a bone. I haven't used anything, wet or dry, in 7 months, but I was doing it by myself up until that 7th month. So it took me 7 months to go to my first AA meeting. And that wasn't easy for me. So if you're new here, Chris, Antony, Sam, Christina, Josh, Nathaniel, Mary Kay, Scott, and especially the young ladies at the treatment, takes a lot of courage. And I just want to say this. It's great that you're sober. It's amazing. It's a miracle. But in my experience, I could not stay sober without the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book. Don't get it twisted. The program is nothing, anything else but in the big book. You only find the program in one place. And a lot of people say a lot of different things. You hear a lot of different things in a meeting, so be careful, be mindful of what you hear. It's extremely important that you are here, especially for people that have been around for a little while. We need to see that you're coming in. We need to see that the disease is still out there and very strong. We need to see hope yet again and again and again. I don't know why it is that I have this built-in forgetter, like so many of my peers in AA, but I need to be told things over and over again because I forget. And it's very important, especially being in treatment, that if you don't change the mind will take you right back to where you were. It's trained to do so. Can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. I need a new mind. And there's only one way that I've experienced a new mind, and that's through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. As rigid it may be, as old as it may be, as this kooky old writing from the 30s, but the first 100 have showed how, it worked. It worked with them and so many others. And it worked with me. So, my first, thank God for the trailblazers, right? We have trailblazers and they left a tail, an awakening tail, at least the guys I follow. And to constantly bring big book of Alcoholics Anonymous back into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank God for that. Because you could go to meetings and stay very sick. You could go to meetings and really be misled. The one thing I learned about meeting makers is that they make a lot of meetings. 90 means in 90 days. My sponsor told me, I want you to pray every day, three times a day. He didn't care that I made 90 meetings in 90 days because he knew meeting makers just make meetings. So being recovered is just what I'm going to talk about. Being in a place of neutrality, being in a place where the mental obsession is gone and has never returned. I'm a miracle. I did not do this. It happened to me. I had no part of this. I guess you could say I had the little part of, following my trailblazers, right? Doing what they said to do, not doing what people wanted me to do, but doing what they said to do that was directly followed by the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So in our program, it specifically says that one spot, and I love sharing this, especially with people that have never seen it before. In the preface in our big book, midway down, it tells us exactly what I just shared. So, second paragraph says, because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such large numbers of alcoholic men and women to recovery, there exists a strong sentiment against the radical changes being made in it. Therefore, the first portion of this volume describing the AA recovery program has been left largely untouched in the course of revisions made for the second, third, and fourth editions. That part right there, AA recovery program, you won't see that in any other AA literature. AA literature is good, it's fulfilling, has some knowledge in it, but right here, this is the only book that states that it's a program. So if somebody asks you, are you in the program and you're not in the big book, you say, no, I'm not in the program yet. I'm just hanging out in the fellowship for now. That's okay. That's okay. There's many of us that do that. I did it. Okay. So I'm not a hypocrite here. I understand it's scared to get involved with the program. This guy that, held my hand, right? You gotta understand, I just turned 30 years old. I'm trying to do this on my own. I'm insane. What I've learned is being sober doesn't mean I'm in a place of neutrality, doesn't mean I'm recovered. It just means I'm sober. I was dry and I was more insane than I was when I was drinking and using. So to put the plug in the jug, so to speak, or just don't drink no matter what, I can't relate to that. Because I put the bottle down and I got worse. Just don't drink no matter what. I didn't know how to do that. So I can't relate to that. I have a disease of the obsession of the mind that's powered by the spiritual malady, which leads me to the first drink and causes the phenomenon of craving to kick in. So I can't. I don't have the power to stay stopped on my own. Those 7 months was through the grace of God. Nothing of my own. I may have been scared to death, but I was going to use again. I knew it. I was going to pick up. It was just a matter of time. Matter of fact, on that 7th month at 3 a.m., I was ready to call it quits. Like, I tried it. It doesn't work. But what did I really try? I tried staying stopped on my own power. And it was of no avail. I couldn't hold a job in those 7 months. I couldn't hold a relationship in 7 months. I couldn't be respectable, honorable member of society. I was a train wreck. And I didn't know anything about what you guys talk about and anything to do with a solution. I just knew of the problem and it stared me right in the face 24 hours a day. So when I sat down with this guy, right, let me back up. At 3 a.m., I leave work and I'm a mess. Right? I was working nights and I didn't know anybody else to call but this supervisor that was like mentoring me kind of in my job. And 3 months before that, I got him a job there because I was a supervisor. And not only did he climb up the ranks in 7 months, but he became my manager. So he was mentoring me at work, but I had no idea he was a recovered alcoholic. No idea. So he was prepping me. So at 3 a.m., I called him and goes, listen, come to my house. Come to my house first thing in the morning. Go home, get some sleep. If you don't feel safe that you're going to make it home, I'll pick you up and take you home. And I was like, no, I could get home. I'm exhausted. I'm just going to go home. I needed someone to talk to, and he talked to me. So I get up, I go to his house. I think it was like 9 o'clock the next morning. And I walk into his door because we were driving to work. I knew him a little bit, right? And his girlfriend was like, oh, yeah, Rob's sitting out in the back in the gazebo. And he's got a big backyard, right? It's about an acre of land. And I'm walking across the grass and he's sitting there with his big shit-eating grin, smiling, right? And we called him Big Rob, right? Because he was 6'4", 260, big dude, but, like a teddy bear. But he had like these chipmunk cheeks when he smiled. So I was like, oh boy, here we go. What's he so smiling about? I'm a mess. And he's smiling. I'm like, so we sat down, we start talking. And I just started crying. I lost it, right? He reaches out to me and he grabs my hands. He goes, I said, I'm sweaty, I'm shaking. No man has ever held my hands besides maybe my brother and my dad. He's holding my hands and he goes, it's going to be okay. And I'm like, it don't feel okay. Because it's okay. It's going to be okay. And he goes, the only way I know how to help you is the way I've been helped. So I'm going to guide you the way I've been helped. And it's through this book. And I'm like, what's that book? And I get, mind you, I've heard of AA, never been to an AA meeting, don't know anything about a book, but he had the big book in between us. And he goes, I'm going to help you. We're going to read this book together. We're going to read it line by line, page by page, where it says stop or question. We're going to talk about questions. We're going to explain things. We're going to have a dictionary. If you don't understand it, we're going to slow it down. We're going to really dig into this because this is what it really helped me. And I'm going to be honest with you, at this point, I tried everything, guys. Therapy, Xanax, everything, psychiatry. Meditation. I cried. I broke down. I said, I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me. I can't believe all those words came out of my mouth. But when you're that ready, when you tell your sponsor or someone that you want to sponsor you, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, he or she will know you're ready. And that's where I was at. I was willing to do whatever it took. It did not matter. Nothing was more important. There was nothing that was more important. So, we did the deal. He says, well, can we pray? And now I got really uncomfortable. Now I'm sweating, right? And I'm like, what did I get into? I said, this is a cult. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And he's still holding on to my hands, guys. So he starts saying the lay aside prayer, right? God, please lay aside everything I think I know about me and my disease. God. And I'm like, I just listened to him, like, whatever, crying, scared. And that's how my journey began. Okay. So my journey began that way. And it was really uncomfortable. So he had such a unique way of going through the big book, right? So it also talks about how we do this work out of the big book, right in the preface, too. Right? On the last page of the preface, the back page, the last paragraph, check this out. All the changes made over the years in the Big Book, AA members' fond nickname for this volume, have had the same purpose: to represent the current membership of Alcoholics Anonymous more accurately, and thereby to reach more alcoholics if you have a drinking problem. So the first question is, do I have a drinking problem? Yes. We hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories and think. Pause and think. So this book is not meant to go through it really fast. If you do that, that's fine, but that's not what this says. So I'm listening to the directions, right? And then ask yourself, right? So we have to think. It tells us to think. So anybody that tells you don't think, they don't know what they're talking about the book. But as long as you're reading the Big Book with your sponsor, right? Think. Pause. Yes, that happened to me. Or more important, yes, I felt like that. Or most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. And that's how we started our journey. That's how the journey started. And it was not comfortable, a lot of feelings. And if any of my lady friends here, you know what I'm talking about. You guys are more connected to your emotions and your feelings than us men, right? There's a lot of them. And you will get a lot of feelings. But that's okay because you never felt them before. You've been ignoring them. That's what my sponsor tells me. He goes, you've been ignoring them for years. So I said, okay, what's next? And he goes, slow your horses down because you know what? I want to do. I want to do. Maybe I'm obsessive compulsive, right? Maybe I have ADHD. Maybe I'm ADD. I don't know, but I want to go. Like I get a little hope. You gave me a little hope. I want to run, right? It's kind of like, think about this. You ever have the flu and the virus and you're sick for what, 5, 7 days? You are tore off from the floor up. All you can have is crackers, maybe some soup, if that, and sipping on water and Gatorade, right? Once you feel better, oh, you could have a Big Mac. You could have a cheeseburger, French fry. It's the same concept. I started to feel better, so I thought I was better. But here's the thing, I wasn't better. I wasn't better. I had hope. I had a spark of hope. So I went into this, just like I said to you guys, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, right? My way doesn't work, obviously. I'm 30 years old. I'm in a relationship that I'm sleeping on my brother's couch. And if anybody knows Ebby Thatcher that, gave the message to Bill, right? Who Ebby received the message from Roland Hazard. And Roland Hazard was a member of the Oxford Group, right? There's a lot of history to this, but I don't want to get into
Two
that.
minutes, Vinny.
Beautiful. Would you say 2 minutes? Okay. So I have a lot of legacy behind me. I have a lot of history. And my sponsor was sharing about that. But the most important thing was coming into this first step. What is the first step? It's admitting that I'm the real alcoholic, but how do I find out if I'm the real alcoholic? And my sponsor says, I don't even want you to say you're an alcoholic in a meeting if you don't believe it. And I didn't. I just said, my name is Vinny. That's all I did because I didn't know what I was doing. And he goes, I want to find out if you're the alcoholic. We're going to really find out because we're going to read these first pages, right? And if you guys know, if somebody who's have read the Big Book, the first 25 pages, you're going to know pretty quickly. So I got to see the first thing he asked me, he goes, do you have a phenomenon of craving? I said, I don't even know what that is. I don't know how to spell it. So he started laughing. And he goes, well, something happens to you internally, right? But we're talking about the doctor's opinion. Internal dis-ease. You're not at ease. You're seeking comfort. But something happens when you put drugs, wet or dry, in your system. You want more. I'm like, yeah, I'm always thinking about more. He goes, no, not the thought. I want you to look to your experience. You'll never find the phenomenon of craving in a thought. You will find it in your experience. So I was like, what? So I said, I shared my experience, my first drunk. And I'm going to end it with this. I was with three guys from high school. I was 15 years old. We went and got a six pack of Schaefer, right? Schaefer of all drink. I had this guy buy it for us. And we all had one, and we were all going to have the second one. But my friend Jack says, hey, let's put a shotgun, make a shotgun out of it. So you know how we do a shotgun. Put a pinhole in it, suck it down, and all of a sudden, I was like, whoa. I don't remember much after that. I just remember what a rush. The third beer, right? Three people, six pack. What do you think happened? The one guy said, I don't like it. I got sick. So I was like, I'm getting the third one. I had a fight with the other guy, Jack. I got the third one. I won the fight because I'm a little bit of a scrapper. I got the third one, did another shotgun. I woke up on the steps of my parents' house not knowing what happened. I blacked out. Turns out, 15 years later, Jack's in the program too. There's the difference, guys. I hope you got something out of it. Thanks for having me. Much love to you guys.